Well, thank you, Christy, for sharing more about that. It's wonderful to hear what God is doing in and through your ministry. Let's pray for Christy and her ministry a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the ways that you are working through the Rafiki Foundation in Liberia and throughout Africa. We pray for Christy and the work that she is doing in particular in Liberia. We thank you for the lives that are being touched, the impact that they are having. We hear the systemic need, the ways that the problems and the challenges extend beyond individuals to the whole system. And we just pray that as they do their work, that you would be transforming hearts and lives to a fuller understanding of your gospel and into a transformed life, raised to new life with you. We pray that you would just give Christy strength for the work that she does, give her patience for when it's difficult, and we just thank you for all of your faithfulness to them and their ministry. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say together. So just a little bit of a warning. I came down with a cold yesterday morning. I'll try to not hack all over the microphone this morning, but that is why I have my water. Plus, you know, if I can celebrate a Florida victory over Tennessee and Michigan getting shellacked by Wisconsin. But we will make our way through this morning. And plus that way now, if you don't like this sermon, you can be like, oh, it's just because he had a cold. So I do have something I have to admit to you this morning, and I'm a little hesitant to admit it, to be honest, but I guess it's time that I own up to the fact that I actually kind of like This Is Us. I know, I could have just told you that I watch it because my wife watches it, right? It's one of these like total soapy drama, family drama shows on NBC. I could just tell you that I watch it because my wife watches it, and I'm like, oh, I'll just watch it with her because Lauren wants to watch it, so I'll watch it. But the reality is that that's how it started, but somewhere along the line, I kind of started to like it myself. And so now I watch it too. And if you watch This Is Us, if you don't, that's okay. But if you watch it, it sort of centers around the Pearson family, Jack and Rebecca, and their kids, and it takes place in different timelines when their kids are older, when they're younger. But Jack, the main husband, father of the show, is sort of known for the big, grand, romantic gesture, right? He's sort of constantly looking for ways to do some big thing to demonstrate his love for his wife. And it's kind of cool. And I, one of the reasons that I've sort of have started to actually like the show is because I find myself sort of identifying with Jack for a couple of reasons. Not only because of his rugged good looks, but also, more than that, I am admittedly sort of a hopelessly cheesy romantic. I sort of embarrassing story. The first time that my wife and I ever kissed, I was about to head out on vacation. And I literally looked at her and said, I can't go on vacation without kissing you goodbye first. I'm thankful that she, you know, let that slide and we still kissed and we still are together, because that's only God working through that cheesy romanticness that we're still together. But also, beyond being a cheesy, hopeless romantic myself, I also find myself tending towards the big, grand gesture. And if the big, grand gesture is sort of a way of life, beyond just how one is in a romantic relationship, I find myself often falling into this mindset that I have to make this big, grand gesture. That happens in my marriage, I'll admit it. Often it doesn't go well because I try to do this big thing, and inevitably, had I just asked for help, it would have gone a lot better than because I tried to do it all myself. But more than that, I find that the big grand gesture is sort of a way of life, an attitude, a philosophy that permeates how I live my life and even how I walk with God. Right? Because I tend to find myself thinking that I need to have every little step figured out before I can take any action whatsoever, right? I need to make sure that the whole thing is all plotted out, that this whole thing is every answer is answered, every question is answered, everything that I might need to know, that I have it all in line before I do anything. I think that I That tendency, if you've served with me on council or on staff, you probably have seen that I will come to a council meeting with like a document, like fully written, fully formatted with our logo on it, and it looks like it's all done. And I'm like, no, this is just the draft. I just had to make sure that it was all done before I ever brought it to you, right? Like, I have this tendency to think that the big grand gesture, right, I have to have everything into place. Sometimes with that big grand gesture attitude, I find myself more worried about what could happen than what's actually happening right now. Right? I'm looking 5-10 steps down the line thinking, well, if this happens, well, then this is going to happen, and this person's going to think this, and this person's going to think that, and then this person's going to say that, and before you know it, there's going to be a coup happening, and there's going to be people meeting at church on a Monday night deciding how to fire me. I literally have had that thought. Because sometimes I'm so caught up thinking about what could happen that I miss what's happening in the present. And the last way that I see this sort of grand gesture philosophy working its way out in my life is what we might call sort of an all or nothing fatalism, right? It's like, if I can do it all, great. Otherwise, it's just totally out the window. So for me, to be totally honest, my physical health and my weight has long been a struggle for me. And one of the reasons that it is a struggle is because of that sort of all or nothing thinking. Because the tendency of, okay, I had 2 good days, 2 healthy days, made some healthy choices, and now today, well, I ate like 3 slices of pizza, so now I might as well just eat the whole pizza. The day's already gone, I might as well just eat the whole pizza. Right? It's all or nothing thinking, because that big grand gesture says, I have to do it all or I have to do nothing. I suspect that I'm not the only one who struggles with big, grand gesture attitudes in our life. For some of us, it's because we look so far ahead that we miss the present. Right? Our kids go into preschool, and we're already worried about whether or not they're going to have the grades to make it into college. Our kid is playing their first recreational team sport, and we're already making sure that they have all the skills in place to get the college scholarship someday down the line. Right? We can be so caught up in the future that we can miss what's happening right in front of us. So busy laying plans for what's to come that we can miss what God is doing right now. Or maybe for some of us, it's that all or nothing mentality of the big grand gesture. Right? I know that, you know, I know that my internet search history isn't healthy. I know that what I'm looking at online is destroying my relationships with my spouse or with my future spouse. I know that it's distorting my ideas and understandings of the opposite gender. But, you know, I've tried before. And every time I try, it's just I find myself right back here. So why should I try again now? It's an all or nothing mentality. I've tried before to kick that habit, that way of life, that addiction, that tendency to gossip. I've tried before to stop caring about what other people think of me and to focus instead only on what Jesus sees in me. But every time I try, I find myself right back where I was, so I might as well just give up and just accept the fact that this is who I am. It's an all or nothing approach. A big, grand gesture mentality can draw us into ways of life that are less than healthy and can cause us to miss out on what God is doing in our life and what God could do in our lives. This week we wrap up our series on the kingdom of God. And we wrap up by asking ourselves a really important question. And that is, how do we participate in the kingdom of God? What does it mean for us right now in how we live to be a part of the kingdom of God? And what we are going to see today is that the way we live in the kingdom of God is we take baby steps. Turn to the person to your left and say to them, take baby steps. Turn to the person on the other side of you, say to them, take baby steps. Baby steps. That's all we are looking for when it comes to how we walk with God, is we take baby steps. So we're going to see that, and we're going to look at that in Mark chapter 4 in the story of the mustard seed. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, Jesus said, the Gospel of Mark says, again, Jesus said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Begins as the smallest of seeds, and it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. Now, if we step back and take sort of the 10,000-foot view of this parable, if we just look at what the big picture of what is going on in this parable, what we see is really that the heart of it is that contrast, right, between the smallest seed and the largest plant. This parable shows up also in the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, shows up with a little bit different emphasis in those two Gospels. But in the Gospel of Mark, the way that Mark presents this story as Jesus tells it, the point, the heart of this story is the contrast between how the seed begins and what it is in the end. The contrast between smallest and largest. So let's start with the mustard seed as the largest plant. Now, it's interesting. If you were to do like a Google image search of mustard tree, mustard bush, there's sort of lots of different images that pop up. Some of them are massive trees, and some of them are more like weeds like this. This is probably more what the mustard bush that Jesus has in mind is talking about, right? We're not talking about a massive tree. We're talking about sort of a garden shrub. One that, interestingly enough, according to rabbinic law, you did not plant in your gardens. You don't plant mustard bushes in your gardens because it's a weed and it overtakes everything else. Oh, hello. Thanks, Matthew. It's a weed and it overtakes everything else. And because it overtakes everything else, right, it sort of consumes your garden. You can see an adult man that's not me, but you see an adult man there standing there, and the bush is bigger than he is. It is a large shrub in your garden. It's not something you'd usually plant in your garden. But Jesus says, well, hey, it still does a good function. When it's in your garden, because it's so big, it provides a place of shelter, of shade, of refuge. Such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. And I think it's important that we see that the point, what happens because of the size of the mustard bush, is that it is big enough that birds seek protection and refuge in it. But it starts small. The smallest of all seeds on earth. Now, this is a really good opportunity to remind ourselves that Jesus is not always as literal as we understand him to be, right? Really, the mustard seed, I actually went out and bought mustard seeds from the spice store, and then I left them on my kitchen counter at home. But, you know, they're not the smallest seed on earth. They're like among like the smallest 1% of seeds on earth. But Jesus knows that, right? The point is not Jesus' very literal statement. Jesus didn't want to, you know, complicate things by saying, consider the mustard seed among the smallest 1% of seeds on the earth, right? It's good enough to say the smallest. We don't always have to take Jesus quite so literally, especially on scientific details. But it starts small. And again, that point is the contrast between big and small. The kingdom of God begins with small actions and expresses itself and works itself out into something much bigger than what it looks like. A small seed, something tiny, something that a little jar of seeds would contain hundreds of these seeds, grows up to be something as big as I am. From little to big. But how does it happen? And approaching this question of how the seed grows helps frame for us what Jesus is getting at in this parable. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus pairs this parable with the one immediately before it, right? Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? And the parable immediately before it is called the parable of the growing seed. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Because God makes the seed grow. In other words, if the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, something that begins with just small, tiny actions, but grows into something much, much bigger than itself. The way that that happens is by the power of God. One way to put that would be that we don't transplant the kingdom of God, we plant it. Because God takes our small, ordinary, everyday actions, our mustard seeds, and makes them into something so much bigger than we can do on our own. In other words, we take baby steps. We take mustard seed-sized actions towards the vision of who God is calling and creating us to be. We take baby steps towards what God could do, and we trust that God is going to take that and make it so much bigger than what we could have planted on our own. It's exactly what Christy just talked about in her update on their work in Liberia. Impacting 19 lives, 19 kids, and giving them this education. Impacting these educators, two educators who went through this whole program, two educators who have been shown a different way, is going to have an impact far beyond just those 21 people. God takes mustard seed-sized baby step actions and grows it into something bigger. You see, I think sometimes we're so caught up in the Jack Pearson-esque big, grand gesture of faith, constantly looking for how we can take this massive step, this massive change, how we can just utterly transform ourselves, that we miss the thousand little steps along the way that God is going to use to bring us from where we are to where God could bring us. I was thinking about that this week with a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." And I think what the teacher is getting at here in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is that if we are consumed with what could happen, we're never going to take any action. Right? We're in Michigan. We know the struggle of accurately predicting the weather. Snow one day, spring and sunshine the next, playing golf the next, and then sledding the next, right? It's Michigan. This is what it's like to live in Michigan. We know how hard it is to predict the weather. But if we are always with an eye on the forecast of what could happen, if we are constantly looking ahead to wonder, what if we don't have it all together? What if we don't have it all figured out? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this goes off the rails? What if this falls apart? If we're constantly watching the wind, we're never going to plant. Because there will always be some reason not to take that step of faith. We will always be able to find something that will keep us from stepping out into the future that God has for us. Because something won't be together right. Something won't be finished. Something will need to be fixed. Something could go wrong. We'll always find a reason not to step out in faith if the focus is on the big, grand gesture. Because we're watching the forecast instead of our faith. Because sometimes we look for what could go wrong instead of what God could make right. Sometimes we watch for what could go wrong instead of what God could make go right. Friends, I believe that for us to be a church and for us to be a community of believers who are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, a community of believers who are bringing the gospel to the west side of Grand Rapids, a community of believers who are sharing the good news and seeing lives transformed by the Holy Spirit and the power of what God is doing in our lives, we just need to take baby steps. We need to plant mustard seeds. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have every detail of the program laid out. We don't have to have everything sorted out, but we can trust that when we plant mustard seeds, that God is going to bring forth a tree. Friends, what baby step can you take today? I bet if you asked Ray and Jerry after the service, what's the secret to 73 years of marriage? They're going to say love, but that love expresses itself not in one big grand gesture a year, but it expresses itself in countless baby steps throughout. If we want to be the new creation that God is inviting us to be, we don't have to be Jack Pearson. We don't have to take the big, grand gesture of faith. Make God some elaborate promise of what we're going to do if God transforms this part of our life. We don't need to have all the details figured out. We don't need to know the end picture. We don't need to see the mustard tree that's going to come from the seed. We just need to plant it. We need to take baby steps. And so maybe that baby step, maybe that mustard seed is just going out of your way to show kindness to somebody. Maybe that mustard seed is opening up to a trusted friend about the reality that you have a problem, that you need help. Maybe that mustard seed is just going out on that limb and inviting a friend, a family member, a colleague to church, to divorce care, to a shotgun shooting night, to a Bible study. Maybe that baby step It's just giving a little bit more to support a cause that God is using to change the world. Maybe that baby step is just asking God to help you be a little more patient today, a little more patient tomorrow. Maybe that baby step is asking God to show you the person on the playground, the coworker in your office who just needs that extra bit of support and encouragement. We don't need the big, grand gestures. We just need to take baby steps. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see the mustard seeds that you've given to us, the ways that we can plant a seed and you are going to make it grow. Help us to see how we can be transformed, how you can transform us, how you can transform our church, how you can transform our community, how you can transform our world with baby steps, with slow and steady and careful steps headed towards the new creation that you are calling us to be. When we lose patience, when we fall into all or nothing thinking, when we think we have to have everything figured out, when we're more focused on what could happen, on what could go wrong, than on what you could make right, bring us back again to the vision of your kingdom, the grace that you have given us, the forgiveness we have through Jesus Christ, and the new creation you are calling us to be. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. And we all say together, amen.